Part 3. Fortune advances like a tortoise and flees like a gazelle. A Terrible Sin. Binti. Mama says that lying is a terrible sin, but tonight it is a necessary one. I tighten my grip on Naya as we stroll together through Lycosa's crammed streets, stifling giggles with each step. The air around us is sweetened by the scent of Naya's heavy perfume, some blend of jasmine and citrus. I can't tell if it's that smell or the palm wine we snuck earlier that's made my head feel a bit dizzy. But I find I don't actually mind the warm sensation. Still, through my pleasant haze, there is a point of concern. Are you... My words are interrupted by a hiccup. Are you sure we'll be allowed in? Neither of us are technically of age.
I'm sure, Naya assures me, nudging me around another corner.
She's wearing an easy smile, the kind I've learned to be instantly suspicious of.
Trust me, she goes on. It's an open bonfire. No one's going to be sober enough to ask questions.
It's not exactly the most comforting answer, but it's the one I'm forced to accept. As if on cue, we pass a man who's clearly had more than a few drinks. He beams, wishes us both a happy bonding day, and presses Shaba coins in our hands. Naya smirks. Fine, I concede. You've made your point. The sun set hours ago, but Lycosa's streets are still full. It's a happy product of the occasion. Bonding Day, a religious holiday that gives everyone in the city a rare occasion to be united in festivity. I think of all those years ago, when Mama and I used to wander through these crowds, not enjoying the celebrations, but picking for scraps. It feels like a distant memory now.
We're here, Naya announces, pointing ahead.
I look up and see several stakes driven into the ground, all lit at their tops with torches. Streamers of blue, green, and gold flutter from them, and they've been arranged to form a crude kind of enclosure. There are people inside of it.
Ready?
Naya throws a look my way, a look that tells me there's no more time for second guessing. No backing out now. I swallow the lump in my throat. Ready. We approach the large man standing in front of the entrance to the enclosure, some sort of guard, and the minute his gaze finds us in the darkness, it narrows.
Good evening, sir, Naya says in a sing-song voice.
We'd like to pay for two entries, please. She holds out the admittance fee. One feta each, but the man doesn't take it. He is still looking us over with skepticism.
How old are you two? He asks slowly.
Old enough. Naya's lie comes out of her mouth with impressive ease, and she flutters her long black eyelashes for good measure. After a moment, the guard softens.
I see.
His tone has now changed completely.
What's your name?
Daya, she says simply. And even though I know better, I almost believe her. She turns to me with expectant eyes. And this is my friend, Rashida. I no longer have to practice saying the name. It comes to me easily now. The moment I speak it aloud, I feel a thrum. It's the thrill of being someone else, something else, if only for a few hours. Tonight, I am Rashida, no longer the daughter of the infamous Cobra, and no longer the girl so poor she had to borrow the dress on her back. The guard gives us both a final once-over, but I can already tell the battle is won. A second later, he steps aside and nods for us to enter the enclosure without taking the coins Naya offered.
Just let me buy you and your friend a drink before the night is over, he says with a wink.
Naya takes my arm again and pulls me forward.
You're going to love this, she says under her breath. I hear the excitement in her voice.
We enter the enclosure, and at once something seizes in my lungs. I begin coughing, as a strange smell fills them. Hard to describe, but almost fruity, saccharine. The air is opaque, with tendrils of something wisping through and making it impossible to see much farther than a few feet in front of me.
What is this?
I wave my hand through the smoke with a mixture of bewilderment and wonder. It's called Matunda, she says, putting an accent on the second syllable. You smoke it from a pipe. It feels a little weird at first, but don't worry, you get used to it. I'm still deciding if Matunda is something I'm interested in getting used to when Naya spots a group of people sitting on logs that have been moved to make a smaller circle. They're waving us over, and I'm relieved to see that most of them look my age, at least. It makes me feel a little less alone here. Come on. Naya guides me over to the group, two boys and three other girls, and introduces them to me in turn, as we settle on the large floor pillows. I don't hear the names of any of the girls, but I do hear when she introduces one boy as Kibwe. I recognize that name. She's been talking to me about him practically nonstop for the last 2 weeks. Almost as soon as she sits next to him, she's engrossed in a conversation with him, which leaves the second boy as the only other person to talk to.
Hi, he offers a small wave. I'm Lesego.
He has to shout over the loud music and offers a sheepish half-smile in apology.
Rashida, I mouth.
What's your poison?
Sorry?
He picks up what looks to be a silver pipe connected to a hose. There are several of them, I now realize, and I figure that this is how Matunda is actually smoked. Lesego seems to read the look on my face.
I like strawberry, he shouts over the noise.
What?
He opens his mouth to try again before thinking better of it, then just scoots closer to me. He smells like the spiced soaps I've sometimes seen for sale at the market.
Strawberry, he repeats. But if it's your first time, you might like something a little lighter, like mint.
I watch him set up the Matunda in silence, trying to ignore the sudden tightness in my chest that has nothing to do with the smoke around me. Mint flavor makes me think of mint leaf, which makes me think of Mama. Thanks to Naya's mother, we've finally found a sort of home with an old innkeeper who needs help. The pay isn't much, but it's a roof over our heads. Mama promised things would get better, and they have, but I still lied to her tonight. She knows I'm spending the night with Naya. She definitely doesn't know that we're at a party. Guilt pricks at me like a thorn.
Hey,
I startle from my thoughts as Lesego leans closer, looking concerned.
Are you okay?
Yeah,
I nod quickly. The bonfire casts a harsh red-gold light over everyone in that luminance. I can appreciate that Lesego is handsome. His skin is chestnut brown, and his short curly hair is as black as a crow's wing. Two matching dimples form in his cheeks when he smiles again.
Okay, just take it slow, he directs, handing me one of the pipes.
I don't want to look like a fool, so I bring it to my lips immediately and suck in a hard breath. My lungs instantly feel as though they've been set on fire, and I start coughing so hard, I'm sure I'm going to bring up a lung.
Whoa, whoa.
Lesego pats my back.
Easy.
Sorry.
I'm grateful for the dimness now. It at least hides some of my embarrassment. But Lesego waves a dismissing hand.
It's no big deal,
he says. No one's first time is great. It's really something you've got to ease into.
Honestly, I say between coughs, I think I'll be okay never trying it again.
Fair enough.
His smile widens.
So what do you do?
I help out at an inn, I say carefully, with my mother.
Really?
There's surprise in his voice.
But you speak so well.
When my brows knit, he raises his hands, alarmed.
Wait, no. That's not what I meant. Just, you sound like you're educated. I mean, like you read books. I mean, sorry.
Now a pleasant flush heats my skin. I'm almost 18, so I've certainly had to deal with boys and men changing the way they look at me. But no boy or man has ever looked at me the way Lasego is looking at me now. He isn't looking at my body, undressing me with his eyes, or saying things that make me want to roll mine to the heavens. He's flustered, looking at me now with admiration, even respect.
How come I've never seen you around before? He asks. Naya comes to these kinds of parties all the time.
I'm careful to consider my answer. I don't want to say that. Truthfully, I rarely have a night off like this. I guess I'm just busy most nights.
Lasego nods solemnly. That's good. I stay busy too.
Really? I ask, eager to shift the focus of the conversation. What do you do?
Entrepreneurship, mostly, he says at once. I've got some great business ideas. I just have to find some financial backers to get me started.
A smile sneaks across my lips, pulling at the corners of my mouth. After years on the street hustling with Mama, it's unreasonably refreshing to hear someone talk about a legitimate business venture. I hope you find a financier to make one of those ideas happen.
Me too.
He looks down at his hands for a moment.
Then I could afford to maybe take you out sometime?
Oh. There's warmth in my cheeks again, but this time I don't mind. My hands feel clammy and my heart is pattering in my chest like a drum, yet none of it feels bad. I've never really been asked out before by any man, properly or not. Thank you, I reply. That would be really nice. I don't know if the new buzzing in my head has anything to do with the way Lasego is looking at me now, or with the smoke still clouding the air. But suddenly, everything around us seems to quiet and fade to something distant. A sea of blurred faces floats around us, but none of them are discernible.
Rashida.
Lasego's not looking at my eyes, but my mouth. I don't mind so much now. I'm finding it easy to look at his. I want to know what comes next. What he's going to say. What he's going to do in these next precious few seconds. Then I hear it. A scream. Everyone turns as a second one pierces the air. And then a wail. My eyes search the crowd until I see it. And my heart sinks. There's a son of the six here, made distinct by his uniform. He has a small squashed nose, wide-set eyes, and a face twisted into what looks like a permanent scowl. His presence here alone would put me on edge, but what has struck fear into me isn't him, but what he has in his grasp. A boy. He looks to be 11 or 12, still young enough to be called a child despite his lanky arms and legs. He dangles limply in the warrior's grasp, and I can already see a line of blood trickling from his lip. I stiffen as my eyes drop to his wrist, to the tarnished silver bracelet he's wearing. I've, of course, seen a bracelet like that before, on my own mother.
I'll ask you again, says the warrior.
His voice is full of cold menace.
What were you doing here?
The boy glowers. I told you, none of your business.
It's the wrong thing to say.
The words have barely left his lips when the warrior withdraws the Hanjari dagger from its hilt. He points its tip just below the boy's eye.
Watch how you speak to me, boy, he says, or you won't be watching anything at all.
The boy's remaining courage slips from him as the tip of the warrior's dagger pierces skin, drawing a garnet red drop of blood that bears an unsettling resemblance to a tear.
Now, says the warrior, what were you doing here? This party's private. Darajas aren't welcomed.
I just wanted some food. The boy speaks quietly, but in the silence his words carry. That's all.
Several bystanders scrunch their faces in disgust, and the warrior's eyes narrow to slits.
You are, in fact, confirming that you knowingly trespassed into an area restricted under Dana law with the intent to steal?
The boy flinches. I didn't really think of it as stealing. I was just going to take the scraps.
By the authority granted to me by the highest authority in this city, says the warrior in a new proclamatory voice. I find you guilty of trespass and theft, and sentence you to 10 bullwhip lashes, to be received consecutively and without delay.
No, please!
There is no hope for the boy or his pleas, as the warrior withdraws the crop from his belt. The metal embedded in the leather glints in the firelight. I look away as his hand rises, but it does nothing to stop me from hearing the sharp crack when that leather meets flesh.
Crack.
I flinch.
Crack. Crack.
The boy screams.
Rashida?
I jump. Naya is standing over me, her face stricken.
I just remembered. My mama needs me at home. You're staying with me tonight, right?
There's a tremble in her voice. Tears glistening in her eyes. She cringes as another crack of the warrior's whip splits the night.
Yeah.
I keep my voice steady as I rise, pretending to smooth the front of my dress. My palms feel sticky with sweat, and my throat is dry. The smell of the Matunda smoke isn't pleasant anymore. It just makes me sick to my stomach.
Rashida.
Lasego rises too, looking concerned.
You're already leaving?
He looks sad. And I don't know whether to be glad that he's sad I'm leaving, or upset that that is what's bothering him, not the boy being beaten just a few feet away from us. I feel Naya slip her hand into mine and tug. I only have time to say, it was nice to meet you. To Lasego, before she pulls me away and through the crowd. Already, some people have returned to their drinks and conversations, while others are still watching as the warrior metes out the boy's punishment. Naya and I don't speak as we pass the guard at the entrance to the corral and head back into the night. Her breath comes quick, panicked, and I don't have to ask her why. We both know how close a call that was. Too close. That boy is a reminder. We may be able to pretend, but we will never truly be apart. We walk in silence until the bonfire is long gone, but I hear the crack of the whip long after.